It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Exactly halfway between last weekend and this weekend, at least in terms of our perspective, in terms of our schedule. I know it's unconventional and atypical, and honestly, it is not a job that you want when there's construction going on in your backyard right below your window. I'm not complaining because we're really excited about the room. I just had no idea how disruptive the noise would be. I'm thinking 10 by 8 room. Man, this is, it's easy, right? Just a little bitty space. It's not even as big as our shed, but it's been loud because they're taking power tools and they're cutting into our siding, right? So they can attach the new room on. On Tuesday, they were doing the preliminary plumbing and electrical work. Oh yeah, that requires making holes in walls. They are also waterproofing the room, right? So they don't yet have the roof on or the siding, but they've done the waterproofing to make sure that it's sealed. We have windows. That was kind of fun. I'll have to show you a photo, producer Pete. It's right now just that bright brown, almost clapboard looking thing, but it's got windows. And so we're pretty excited about that. We had to find windows, buy windows over the weekend, but they were delivered right away. We're thankful for that. And so they're already in, and the plumbing and electrical should be finished soon. So here's the funny thing. The reason we're building this little room is because the washer and dryer that I bought with the house, they're from 2006. They were good quality, but they're old. So the washer died on me a year ago. They're stackables, which meant there's only so many I could buy. I couldn't fix the one that died because the parts were, they were discontinued. So I had to get a new one, but it had to fit in this space in a hallway. So I have a hallway that goes out to the back door that comes off of my kitchen. It's really narrow. With the washer and dryer in there, I have to turn sideways to walk through the space. So I can't go through with my shoulders facing forward. Really can't move anything through there because of the space and how tight it is. Penny used to get stuck there sometimes because that's how narrow the space was. And when I married Bob, for his full-size washer and dryer, he knows this, he tells people this, it's not a secret. Why did you pick this man? Well, because he comes with a full-size stainless steel washer and dryer that are brand new almost. So we don't have a place to put them. They won't fit in that hallway. And so we either had to put them in a different place in the house, which would have meant extending the plumbing the other side of the spare bathroom. So that would have meant ripping up the floor anyway, or putting on a little mudroom/laundry room and getting them out of this hallway. So now we'll have a little more room in that hallway. Really exciting. It's a project we've been talking about since before we were married. So Bob is really good at not just construction, but kind of the designs and ideas. This is his cup of tea. He was going to do the room himself, at least part of it, but we've got a lot of other stuff on our plates, plus all the weddings we had to go to. So we really didn't have time. We decided to hire a contractor, and I just didn't realize. He's actually said to me, I should have warned you about how much carnage it would create in your backyard. We've lost 75% of our lawn. There's dirt everywhere, right? They had to dig this huge hole to not only put the concrete footer in, but also the weather seals or the waterproof seals so that it, right, so you don't have a flood and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, we're getting there. It's just very loud, as you can imagine. And so last week it was the power saws with the lumber and also the cutting the siding off the house, which I swear was making my room shake. And now it's the electrical, it's the plumbing, but it's good. I mean, they're doing a great job. It should be done. We have multiple inspections we have to get at different junctures along the way, but it should be done within, say, 2-3 weeks.
That's solid.
And then we can start. So we have to move the washer and dryer. They're not going to. We'll have to rent a dolly, get the washer and dryer in. I'm sure there will be no arguments created with that process at all.
None
whatsoever. And then Bob tells me he could hook it all up. Great. So I hope the first time I turn on the washer, we don't have a flood in our new room. We have to pick tile next. And so that's a process. And then I think paint color, not that we're going to do anything crazy in there, but we still need tile and some type of a light fixture. So far, so good. No arguments over it. Just didn't realize it would be quite so disruptive. Not as disruptive as the neighbor's light, which is still shining as brightly as the moon, by the way. So I wrote the nice letter to, many of you have asked about this on social. I wrote the nice letter to my neighbors. I apologized. It was in a card. I left it last Thursday. It was gone off their mailbox Friday. I'm sure that they have it. Now we're talking about 5 days later, not a response, not a word. Light is still shining brightly.
Now the town is getting involved.
Well, yes, Bob is going to talk to the inspector. So the inspector will be coming to, it's one guy in our building department. The inspector will be coming to check out the plumbing and the electrical to make sure they're up to code and other different specs for the energy efficiency. And then at that point, Bob's going to talk to him. The thing is, I don't know if he's going to have to come back at night to see, but all you have to do is stand in front of our house. So going out, you don't even have to walk on our property. You just have to stand on the sidewalk in front of our house. And behind the house, all you see is this glow, like someone has put a dozen spotlights back there. It's bouncing off the house on the other side of us. So it's reflecting back. And yeah, it's infuriating, I'll just be honest. It's stressful and it's infuriating that we've gotten no response from the neighbors. I don't want to go to the town, but it's disruptive and it's, as I say, it's stressful. And my husband's been great. He's very patient. It may take a little longer. Don't worry, we're going to get our backyard back. But every single room on the back of our house, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, now the two windows in the new room. All those windows are lit up like the moon is shining directly outside. It's just, oh, it's so gross.
Is there any way to reflect the light back into his house?
Well, we've thought of all kinds of nefarious ways to try to point out to him that this is really destructive. But honestly, he knows that. There's no way that he can just forget. I've just never encountered this before. A person who literally doesn't care how his life is affecting someone else. And I'd said this before, if it was me, and I mean, he came to me about some of the pine tree branches that were laying on his garage and I had them cut within a month, right? I took them all off of there and gave him 8 feet clearance. And it's not even really my responsibility. He's supposed to pay for that. It's on his property, but I paid for it. No issues, fix it right away. But I went to him and tried to talk to him and his response is no. You don't care that it's affecting your neighbors? I just can't imagine being that insensitive or rude or inconsiderate. Even if I didn't like the person, which I really don't like him that much, if he came to me, roles were reversed, I would have turned the light off immediately. You know?
People are cruel.
Yeah, I just, cool. I don't understand at all like what you gain by making enemies of your neighbors.
No, to him, I said this before, but to him, I feel like it's more of a, look, you know, I got robbed, so I'm going to deal with it, and I don't care what anyone else says. That's probably what he's thinking. I don't think...
That's what he said.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He does not care at all.
No.
So that's the update. There's no update. I don't know if he cares about the construction. He did, by the way, ask if we had the proper permits. So I'm pretty sure he was looking for a way to tie us up too, right? So this is how his mind works. But we got the permits and we've got the town. And it's kind of funny, through this process of getting the permits for our new room, my husband has developed a relationship with the building guy. So I feel like he's got, and the building guy is a stickler for rules. I mean, he wants 8 inches of clearance here. He wants a certain kind of window there. He needed a particular document that he had to have before he would approve our permit. So he's a stickler for rules. Well, that's going to help us.
That's going to definitely help you. It's going to make a very smooth transition to,
I hope so,
to figure out this light.
I hope so.
Perfect.
Some of you are asking, is the light on all night? Oh, yeah, that's the problem. Michael, thank you for caring. The issue is it's a dusk to dawn light. So the second it starts to get dark, the light comes on. Now, Pete, the last couple nights, the light's been on before 7 o'clock in the evening.
Right.
And it doesn't go off until after 7 o'clock in the morning. So it's on for 12 hours because it's not just dead of night. It's on, it's automatically triggered. And so this is really frustrating to think about. I'm trying not to go there. But when we turn the clocks back, you know that it gets dark at 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. That effing light, pardon my language, will be on from 4:30 in the afternoon until 8 o'clock the next morning. I mean, that's insane. It'll be on more than it's off. And like I said, it's lighting up every room of our house with this on the back of the house with this unnatural light. I don't begrudge him the light, but that's what floodlights are for. Here's the ironic thing, Pete. We have a floodlight on the back of our house. It's been on at times because the construction workers have been back there late. So we've turned it on. Guess what we do when they're gone? We turn it off, right? So it's not flooding other people's backyards.
Yeah, I have a light on the back of my house, but it's an outdoor light. It's a light, and I like to keep it on, but it's an outdoor light. It's meant to be on your back of your house, not to baste a chicken.
This is it's one of those white LED lights, and it's in a white globe, so there's nothing to block it. And it's like those headlights that you get on the new cars now, where you can't even look at it because they're so bright, it's blinding. That's what it's like.
LED lights, I'll pass on them, but yeah. they're the new norm now. I'm not really a fan of it. But anyway, that's besides the point.
Right. So no progress there, if you're wondering. Only the fact that Amy has to be careful that she keeps her temper in check, because it's infuriating that this guy does not care even a little bit.
If you lose your temper, we won't be able to ask you anything. So
if I get suspended, then I have to spend more nights at home with that damn light. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's our hump show, about 30 minutes away from Ask Amy Anything. Straight ahead, defense wins championships. I wonder if it was the defense of the Vikings against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets that was the last straw for Woody Johnson. The owner of the Jets speaking out on Tuesday about why he made the decision to fire Robert Saleh.
This is one of the most talented teams that has ever been assembled by the New York Jets. I wanted to give this team the most opportunity to win this season. I feel that we had to go in a different direction. This change, the change that we made today, that I made, I believe will bring new energy and positivity that will lead to more wins starting now.
So the question, of course, is who he talked to. We haven't heard from Aaron Rodgers yet, and you can believe him or not believe him. That's certainly your prerogative. But according to people who know him, people around him in the facilities, and this includes Connor Hughes, who is a longtime Jets reporter. He's with SI now, or The Athletic?
I believe SNY.
Oh, he's with SNY. Okay, I know I see him on TV. I wasn't sure he had another outlet. I'll check just to be sure. He actually has spoken to multiple players inside the facilities, and they all say they had no idea. They were all blindsided. People close to Aaron Rodgers say that he was blindsided as well. He had just spoken to Saleh the night before, didn't expect that there was going to be any kind of a change, had no idea they were game planning for week number six. And also reports indicating that Robert himself had no plans. He was in the facility. He was working to get ready for the upcoming weekend in football and finds out that he's been not only fired, but escorted out of the building. Okay, so there are a couple of different rumors out there. And again, I would refer you to guys who covered the team on an extensive basis. Connor Hughes is one of those. He's at Connor_J_Hughes. He covers the NFL. He's been on the show before. He's primarily Jets and Giants for SNY, but we have had him on the show to talk about anything and everything in football. He's debunking the myth that Aaron Rodgers found out that Robert Saleh was planning to fire Nathaniel Hackett. Okay, so this is a bit of a tangled web. You all remember Nathaniel Hackett was both the quarterback's coach and then the OC in Green Bay when Aaron Rodgers was there. When the Jets were trying to lure Aaron Rodgers to New York, they hired Nathaniel Hackett. He's been the offensive coordinator under Robert Saleh. There was a report out there, and this comes from CBS Sports and Jonathan Jones, who's also been on the show. The report was, according to his sources, Saleh was planning to fire Hackett. Aaron Rodgers found out about it, went to Woody Johnson, and that's why Woody Johnson fired Saleh. Okay, so a little bit neat there. I mean, if it's too good to be true, if it's too neat and tidy. But according to Connor, Saleh was never going to fire Hackett. But he was going to take away his offensive play calling duties. Again, this is coming from Connor Hughes. Because of some of the issues on offense, Robert Saleh had made the decision to give the play calling to Todd Downing. And he had made that decision on Tuesday morning. According to Connor Hughes, 5 minutes later, he was called into Woody Johnson's office and fired. Okay, so I have no idea if he told anyone, meaning Robert, if he'd even gone to Hackett or Downing at that point. But that's a pretty tight window for Aaron Rodgers to get wind of it, and there's no word of that. And then turn around and tell Woody, who then fires Robert Saleh immediately? That seems a little bit too neat and tidy. Sometimes when it's too good to be true, it actually is.
Well, and especially for a guy that has never fired a coach in season. You would think he's probably very measured with what he does.
Right, 25 years. He's never done this before, and he mm-hmm. did mention that. So there has been some concern about the offense, of course. They had one touchdown against the Vikings, and it was late in the game. They had no touchdowns against the Broncos home the weekend before. And so, yes, there was some talk about changing responsibilities on the offensive staff, but not that Nathaniel Hackett was going to be fired. And again, according to the people out there, according to Connor and others who cover the Jets and talk to these guys, nobody knew. Nobody knew ahead of time. They were all blindsided. Woody Johnson was asked whether or not he consulted the GM, Joe Douglas, before he made this move.
I did talk to Joe Douglas about it, but in the end of the day, this was my decision and my decision alone. And, you know, I've had enough experience doing these things. It's the first time I've done it this early, but I thought, you know, once again, I thought and think that this will help the team, help this talented team achieve the goals that the team wants and that I want and the fans want.
It seems like a knee jerk to me. Again, as Pete points out, he's never done this before. So it seems knee jerk to me. However, I can understand the frustration. He and the general manager, the front office, have brought in a bunch of pieces to put around Aaron Rodgers. This is their go-for-broke year. Last year and this year were supposed to be this go-for-broke window. But because there was no Aaron last year, it was worse. And they decided, maybe against his better judgment, I don't know, they decided to keep the whole band together, bring the band back together. It's like a reboot of 2023. but it's not coming together that quickly. And that makes sense to me. They've had 5 games with Aaron Rodgers. 5. It's just not often that you see a team fire a coach, A, this early, B, when you've got a Hall of Famer at QB. And until I get some real, actual evidence that Aaron Rodgers had anything to do with it, I'm not going to pass that along to you and feed into the narrative right now. My social media is, oh, Aaron Rodgers is a coach killer. Well, I mean, do you have proof of that? Or is that just because you're in the know? Or truth really irrelevant on social media? Everybody who's around them right now is saying he had no idea either. And Woody Johnson is claiming responsibility. Now, obviously, Woody would want to keep his quarterback's name out of it, but there's got to be some tie. You can't just make it up and then pretend like it's true because you want it to be. I don't know how many players out there would tell you that it's a great idea to fire a head coach 5 games into a season, unless, of course, we're talking about Urban Meyer. So Jeff Ulbrich, he is promoted from D.C. to head coach, and it's his team for the time being.
I think everything's on the table right now. We're not playing to our potential. We're not, you know, we're too talented to be putting the product we put out there the last couple weeks, especially. So we got to take a hard look at everything and be honest with ourselves.
What about changes to the offensive coaching staff, considering that that's where most of the issues lie?
I've got tremendous respect for this offensive staff. I do. Every single guy on it. In the next couple days, you know, like, in my opinion, these guys are going to be here on Monday Night Football for us. Saying that, in the next, I mean, this has been 4 hours fresh for me to take this role on. Everything will be assessed, the process, the responsibilities, et cetera. But I do not foresee any changes in the staff.
All right, that's coming from the new interim head coach. Another quote from Woody Johnson that I've seen floating out there, and I think it's also pertinent. We need to find ways to win. We're not going to find those ways doing the same thing over and over. Actually, he said over and over and over. What is the Urban definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. Mm-hmm. Maybe he just got to the point where he didn't want to see the same thing over and over. And I mean, bottom line, it is his team. So he writes the checks. He signs the checks. I know that it's frustrating, and I don't think it's Robert Saleh's fault, but that's part of being the leader. The buck stops with you. You're the head coach. It's why you make more money than everybody else does, because you've got more to lose. Woody did admit that he spoke to Aaron Rodgers on Monday night, but said they didn't talk about the coaching staff at all. Again, that's coming from the owner himself. What about Jeff's relationship with the quarterback?
I have a good relationship with Aaron. He is he's one of those guys that has, you know, he's just unbelievable experience, and he's seen this game at the highest level for a long time. So he's a guy with a lot of ideas and really positive feedback about a lot of different things, whether it be meetings, practice, game planning, scheduling, all of it, you know. So he will be a vital resource for me in that way, for sure.
I mean, he is a veteran, and he's got a lot of experience, as Jeff points out. They've got more problems than just the quarterback. I mean, there's a lot of issues there. Not been running the ball as effectively as I thought they should be able to, and not able to score. So Woody Johnson is looking for new energy and positivity. Those are two of the phrases that he used. After week 5, let's see what kind of...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Payoff up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port and trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
A jolt this gives the Jets. Maybe it scares them half to death. And they all show up ready to work until they turn the lights out and kick them out of the facilities. By the way, Connor Hughes, again, one more, said, these are his quotes, that Robert Saleh was shocked and blindsided by the move. At Amy After Hours, send your questions for Ask Amy Anything just a few minutes away now. Also on our Facebook page, it's good to connect with you, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Defense wins championships.
Defense wins championships.
I want this so bad. I dreamed this, man.
I don't know who the tackle is and I'm going against, but I'm going to kill him.
No. No.
I check all the boxes.
Late rush. He throws it down the field. Intercepted at the 30. 25-20. Micah Fitzpatrick goes into the end zone.
Defense. Defense. Defense.
That's dangerous.
Incredible defensive plays and defensive displays in week 5 of the NFL that we wanted to make sure we highlighted them. And these aren't even all of them. I mean, there was a 101-yard fumble return for a touchdown by the Seahawks before they lost to the Giants in Seattle. But we've been talking about the Jets. Maybe, just maybe, one of Aaron Rodgers' worst games was the first or second nail in the coffin for Robert Saleh.
Third down and 6. Rodgers stomps his right foot. Marchetta signal, nobody jumps. And now pressure coming at the snap. Thrown to the right side. Intercepted. Going back the other way at the 40. To the 50. Outside left numbers to the 40. And this is Van Ginkle down the sideline to the 20. To the 10. He's all the way in. Touchdown, Minnesota. Andrew Van Ginkle. His second pick six of the season. And the Vikings have a 2-score lead late in the first quarter. Aaron Rodgers in the gun. Two receivers left. Single man. Make it two receivers right. And the shotgun snap. Number high. Rodgers lets it fly down the right boundary. One-on-one coverage. It's intercepted. Inside the 10. The Vikings take it away. Stephon Gilmore on his backside made the catch. An unbelievable interception from Minnesota.
A lot of the stuff we've seen, you know, it's just stuff that we walk through, single pressure, replacement stuff. So we'll be real critical as we look at the film. But in general, you know, I gotta play to the standard I know I'm capable of playing, and the rest of that stuff takes care of itself.
Producer Pete tells me that's Aaron Rodgers in the basement of Buckingham Palace. Yeah, the Andrew Van Ginkle 63-yard pick six and was part of Minnesota up 17-0 early in London. So you're welcome, London NFL fans. The call's there with J.P. Shadrick on Westwood One and a 3-interception game. The last one Robert Saleh will see as head coach of the Jets. Now, we know the Super Bowl champions are also 5-0, like the Minnesota Vikings. So the two undefeated teams both showing off the defense.
Sean Blitz is selling out, coming after Carr. He throws it up for grabs. Left side, the pass will be incomplete at the 10-yard line. Mason Tipton trying to get it over his shoulder. Chamari Connor was with him in coverage. Pressure, coverage, holding on downs. The Chiefs lead by 10 and have it back at their own 42.
At the end of the day, our defense is playing their tail off, and I think people are starting to come to realize that even more. And so even when we're getting these field goals, they're keeping us in these games. Obviously, offensively, we had a better day today, a lot of yards. Now it's about finding ways to finish with touchdowns in the red zone so we can make these lead bigger, faster, and then we can really let Spags be Spags.
Oh, Steve Spagnuolo gets so much attention now as the defensive coordinator for the Chiefs. And who would have thought the defense would be the stronger unit? But it's been that way now, spearheaded by Chris Jones, guys like Nick Bolton, veterans. And you hear Patrick Mahomes talk about the field goals, settling for field goals. They were 2-for-7 in the red zone on Monday night, but the defense made it stand up. The call's there with Mitch Holtis on Chiefs radio. How about in that same division, Patrick Surtain with a milestone moment.
Gain of 8, first down to goal, Raiders at the Denver 5. Minshew under center. Minshew with a play fake, rolling to his left. Now floats one too high. It's going to be intercepted at the goal line. Down the west sideline, intercepted. This is past Surtain. Sertan's going to house call it. 25-20, 15-10, 5, touchdown.
That situation there, I had to capitalize on that moment and make a play. And I could just feel the momentum shift, you know. You could tell by the team that playing so far, moving forward, we really, really felt the tempo, felt the urgency to really, like, up the energy and up the play for real.
Patrick Surtain with a pair of interceptions, but the one you hear with Dave Logan on Broncos radio, second drive for the Raiders into that red zone on the goal line, 100 yards the other direction. And Hall of Fame cornerback Champ Bailey was on hand and had exchanged jerseys with Pat Surtain before the game. If you missed the story, it's part of our conversation with Champ. We'll bring it back later in the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. The Arizona Cardinals pulled off a stunner against the San Francisco 49ers in the Bay Area because of defense.
Purdy under center. Mason and Juszczyk in the backfield in an offset eye. Purdy takes, pitches to Mason, running left, in trouble in the backfield. Kaiser White got him, and the ball comes out. The Cardinals appear to have it at their 10-yard line, and it is Arizona ball. They force a turnover inside their 10-yard line. Wilson comes up with the ball.
I thought the run game was good down there, and we defended the pass pretty well. You know, so it was high-level execution to keep points off the board, because that was, you know, probably one of the reasons that went into winning the game.
The Arizona Cardinals had a couple of deep fourth quarter stops against Brock Purdy and the Niners offense, and Jonathan Gannon thrilled as you'll hear him, with the red zone defense for his Cards, who get that victory against the big bad Niners. Now, thinking about one of the great surprises this season so far, the Commanders have won 4 consecutive games. Dan Quinn, their new head coach, he comes from the defensive side of the ball, and he loves to see the big hits by his guys on defense. And how much that can fire up the whole sideline.
When you see the defense take the field after a big hit and the energy that gets created from that, there is more to it than Stoge up on the stat sheet. And Ballore's right in the middle of those. And it also gives you some chances to knock the ball out. And we did that at Arizona. We didn't get it. But I do like their energy and their effort and toughness. And they do help set a tone for who we want to be.
Oh, man, there's a lot of excitement around Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels and the new ownership with the Commanders and what they've got in store. And this is just the beginning. At A-Law Radio or at Amy After Hours, our Facebook page, too. Got any last-minute questions for Ask Amy? Because that's next. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, and your furry friends with life, electronic device, and pet health insurance. We lead off with the baseball playoffs, and we'll start in San Diego.
Here's the 0-2. And Tatis sends it in the air. Deep to left field. Hernandez is back, looking up. Gonna go! Two-run homer, Fernando Tatis Jr. And it is a 6-run second inning.
Jesse Agler, the call on Padres radio. The Padres beat the Dodgers 6-5, and they take a 2-1 series lead. Now to New York, game 3 between the Mets and the Phillies.
Manaea will try again. Slow windup, high kick, 0-2. Got him swinging, sweeper down and in. 7 shutty for Sean Manaea. A 1-2-3 seventh inning.
Keith Radd on Mets radio. Mets beat the Phillies 7-2, and they take a 2-1 series lead. Now to football. The Jets fired head coach Robert Saleh after a 2-3 start to the season. Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich was named the interim head coach. The Patriots will reportedly start rookie quarterback Drake May on Sunday against the Texans. Saints quarterback Derek Carr reportedly suffered an oblique injury during Monday's loss to the Chiefs, and he is expected to miss multiple weeks of action. opening night in the NHL in their first ever game. The Utah Hockey Club beat the Blackhawks by a score of 5-2. Also, the Florida Panthers raised their Stanley Cup banner, and then they opened the season with a 6-4 win over the Bruins. Sam Bennett with a couple of goals. And the first game of the day was the Blues beating the Kraken by a score of 3-2. The Panthers and forward Carter Verhaeghe have agreed on an 8-year contract extension. Now to the WNBA semifinals. Game 5, the Lynx over the Sun, 88-77. Minnesota wins the series 3-2, and they advance to take on the New York Liberty in the WNBA Finals. Game 1 is on Thursday night in New York. I'm Peter Schwartz.
This is the Infinity Sports Network. Follow us on Instagram. Our handle is Infinity Sports Network. That's Infinity Sports Network to follow us on Instagram.
Groove. We're 5 weeks into Ask Amy, and he's got it. In fact, he took off his, were you wearing a hoodie or a, you just want to flash the Mets jersey?
Yeah.
Okay, that's
jacket.
It. It's just about the Mets jersey right now, but it's not at all distracting as we kick off Ask Amy Anything.
Brisket tacos, beef tacos, or chicken tacos. That's from Gary.
I actually prefer ground beef when I do tacos. And when I do taco night, I mix the ground beef with not just the seasoning, but also peppers, sometimes mushrooms. I like to put onion in there as well. So yeah, I do like the chicken or the beef. The only issue is that often when you have larger chunks of meat, they all come out in one bite. You know what I'm saying? So they slide right out of the soft taco. So when you have ground meat, you can get the bites and still leave some of the meat in the taco. I know this is very technical. So with chunks of chicken or chunks with beef, like shredded beef, sometimes I feel like it all comes out. It comes sliding out of the soft taco. And then there's nothing left but, say, sour cream and salsa in your taco
then
shell.
Then it turns into a bowl.
Well, there you go. Yeah, so I prefer the ground beef only because it's easier to eat in a taco shell.
If you could coach or be a GM
nice.
Of a professional team, which team would you choose? That's from Casey on Twix.
Oh, cool. Okay, a coach or a GM. I don't think coach because of the scouting and the recruiting and all that jazz. You know what? How about Duke women's basketball? That might be fun.
All right.
Or let's see if I can think of another Tennessee women's basketball. One of those. GMs are now a big thing in college. Coaching, though, is so hard. It's why I decided I didn't want to do coaching years ago. It's because with college coaches, the process never ends. It's nonstop. But if I was a GM or whatever, I suppose it would be one of the higher profile women's college basketball teams because that's a lot of fun. I really enjoy it. Now, if we're talking about a pro sport, I'm telling you, being an NFL coach or GM is hazardous to your health. There's really no job security there. So I'll say Boston Celtics. That's the team that I fell in love with when I was 13 years old. It's the team that made me want to get into this business. Of course, now you're buying high, right? Because they're the defending NBA champions, and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are even more motivated, if that's possible. So I'll go GM of the Celtics, maybe coach of Duke women's basketball.
I like it. Do you and Bob visit Bucky's when you come down to Texas?
Yes, actually. In fact, it's not just Bob and I. It's my mom, her husband, whenever my brother's family is in town. So last year, we got married on a Sunday. On Monday, instead of doing honeymoon stuff or going away, we spent it with my family because my brother's family was only going to be around for another day and a half. We weren't going to see them for Christmas. And of course, one of our activities was to go through Bucky's and find gifts and snacks and whatever else. I mean, it's a family adventure, a family field trip to Bucky's whenever we're there. But yes, we have a soft-sided cooler that we take on road trips with the Bucky's logo, the proud Bucky's logo on it.
Do you like candles? And if so, which scent? It's from Mike on Facebook.
Pumpkin. Yes, this time of the year I'll take pumpkin. But I love candles, but I do more of the candle warmers as opposed to the flames, the open flame, just because it's I think it's better for the paint. You ever notice sometimes you blow them out and you can end up with residue on your walls? So I don't want that to happen. So I do candle warmers, but I love pumpkin. I love vanilla. Also, someone gave me a lilac candle for springtime, and it was amazing. Since I'm trying to grow a lilac bush in my backyard, her name is Lila, that was kind of a purveyor of things to come, smells to come.
Popcorn or potato chips from Jim?
I love them both. If it's extra movie theater butter popcorn, or heck, if it's just the popcorn from the movie theater, I'm saying that. But I do love chips, and it's one of my vices. Hint of lime Tostitos chips are my favorite, but also really dig pretty much any chip you put in front of me. So, yeah, I'm all about the salty chips.
That's why I'm not allowed to go food shopping.
Yeah, this is why I try not to have them in the house. Exactly.
Have you ever watched Unsolved Mysteries with Robert Stack from Caleb?
I haven't. Is it good? I do like those types of shows.
It's scary. It was on the 80s. It was on the 80s, early 90s.
Oh, huh.
And it might be around on one of the new outlets.
I know that a lot of the main networks used to do those types of shows. Maybe I did see it and I just don't remember it. But yeah, you'll get those type of news organizations, news networks that will do these unsolved mysteries. And now it's probably the most popular podcast genre out there is true crime stories, or Crime Junkies is a really popular one.
Mysteries.
Yeah, all kinds of stuff like that.
Which sports record would you like to see broken? That's from David on Facebook.
Oh, that's a good one. I would like to see someone score more than 100 games in an NBA game, more than 100 points in an NBA game. I think that's pretty delightful. And I wouldn't be surprised if it happens, only because there's less and less defense and more offense. So that one would be interesting. But also, I'd like to see a hit streak that breaks that of Ted Williams, just because. I mean, that I think a lot of people would really get into that. And who wouldn't love to see a new home run record? That would get everyone involved, too, over the course of a summer. That'd be fun. And we thought that Aaron Judge might get close to, 65 or so. He was on pace for that, but then kind of fell off for a couple weeks. It's a lot to do, but I believe Ohtani has the potential to do it.
What is your favorite sports movie, Luis, on Facebook?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, Miracle, about the 1980 U.S. men's hockey team at the Olympics, is tremendous. I love that one. I also really love, The Natural. The Natural is a good movie, too. Love Hoosiers. That's probably my favorite sports movie. Rudy's a good one. I like those inspirational ones. And Tin Cup is funny just because Kevin Costner's a hoot.
I'll throw a shout out to Million Dollar Baby.
Million Dollar Baby is also great.
Have you ever considered entering your chili or baked goods in a food competition?
I have, because I'm pretty sure my chili could stack up against anybody else's out there, but I don't know where to do that. Someone suggests to me a place where I can enter a chili competition. I would love to, because I think that'd be amazing. What more could you ask for in life than to be crowned queen? Chili queen of your town, or chili queen of the state fair, the Big E, for those of you who know what the Big E is in New England.
We should make our own competition. I think that would be
can you cook chili?
I can figure it out.
Okay, that'd be fun. Well. Oh, yeah, I have two crock pots. You're welcome to borrow one. Okay, so just me and you, or should we involve other people?
Other people.
Oh, let's do it. Let's do a late October chili cook-off.
Pick them up.
Okay, let's go.
If you could pick anywhere to live, where would it be? Jenny, Facebook.
Well, right now it's New Jersey, because that's where my house and my job are. But if you're asking me if job was no object and I could work anywhere, oh, gosh. I would need to live somewhere where there are mountains, there is access to the ocean, there are four seasons. So as much as my husband would love to live in Texas, I need four seasons. Virginia, that type of equation works for Virginia. North Carolina, I love South Carolina. Not a lot of mountains in South Carolina, but I do love that area. Montana would be fun. No ocean access there, but Montana, I've always wanted to try.
This is a repeat question, but we'll do it again because of the season.
Okay.
Favorite Halloween costume as a child?
Well, that was my encyclopedia costume. And my mom and I made a giant encyclopedia out of a huge box.
Yes.
I'm sure there's a photo somewhere. In the past, I have authentic cowboy boots from my days in Oklahoma that still have cow poop on them. And so I would also do the cowgirl thing with those boots as well as some overalls just because. Oh, flannel. Flannel's so good for cowboy, cowgirl outfits.
Is it okay for a man to cry from Rich?
Of course it is. You're a human being. If, let's say, you lose someone really close to you and you don't cry, I think that would be more of an issue. I mean, people are sad when they lose people. I just think that's a fairly natural reaction.
Hard.
Now, crying over a loss of your sports team, that's completely different, but...
Yeah, it's a different bracket.
Or about like a painful injury, all these things. Or watching someone else you love go through something really tough. Of course, men. Real men cry. That's one of the rules. Real men also carry their women's bags without feeling self-conscious. And real men wear pink. Especially this month because it's Breast Cancer Awareness Month.
That's right.
Okay.
Hard, medium, or soft bristle toothbrush.
Oh, extra soft. Extra soft. I have sensitive gums, so I have to use special toothpaste for sensitive gums. Do you think that has to do with talking? No, it doesn't.
I don't know. I wish I knew. And I've gotten a couple questions about it, so let's maybe recap the situation with the light. People want to know how it's going.
Yeah, nothing's changed. It's brighter than ever. The neighbors have not responded to the letter that I wrote them, the very nice note. I am... more and more infuriated by it, but I'm keeping my temper in check, other than to make mutter comments under my breath to my husband. We are going to the town. We're giving them to the end of the week. We're giving them a full week since we wrote the note. I swear the light's gotten brighter. They've not responded at all. I haven't seen them, either the husband or the wife. I just know that the light is now coming on earlier and earlier because it's getting darker earlier. And so at this point, and this is mid-October, the light is staying on for 12 hours. Pretty soon it'll be more like 14, even 16. So we're going to talk to the town by the end of this week. I hope that doesn't make me a bad neighbor, but all I'm asking is that you point your light in a different direction.
That makes you a smart person.
Don't point that thing at me. Yeah. So I'm done talking to them, though, because that's not worked. Well, thank you for all of your questions and your curiosity about my life. I know a lot of you actually prefer me telling stories about life and experiences over me talking about sports. I'm not sure that what that says about me and my sports acumen, but this month is kind of hard. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.